Down to the Fur Planet Emporium and get yourself a pre-owned cat. We also got books, books, more books than your body has room for. Welcome to Notcast, episode 295, pre-owned cats. I'm Severin. And that's Fuzzcat. Yeah, there's a great video by the Calgary Humane Society. They were doing a promotion to get people to come to their place in Calgary and adopt cats. They were like half off adoption fees for cats, and they did it in the vein of a used car salesman. It was really quite clever.
Yeah.
Because used cats. This little orange number purrs like a kitten. The top speed of 30 miles an hour, this one's ready to race home to your heart. Race into your heart.
I guess this email you sent was just for your use.
Yes. Well, I mean, we could read the entirety of it, but it took me 30 minutes to read.
Yeah.
Well, the story took 34 minutes.
Can I archive it then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you're done with it? Okay.
Yeah, I actually have it pulled up on my iPad here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be doing more for Planet stories, basically to promote their various anthologies and whatnot, maybe do first chapter stuff for some of their books. And basically I was like jokingly calling it for Planet Friday, but I had to come up with an idea. How the devil do I get a text file onto my iPad? And so what I did is I emailed the text file to the Notcast folder, which is accessible from here.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, you could have put the Dropbox app on your iPad and then you'd be able to open up your,
I don't know if Dropbox would even run on this thing. It's an iPad 1. They probably updated their shit so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think I used it on mine for a while, but I've had this 3 for a little while now, so I don't know. Oh, yeah, this is Fuzzwolf, by the way. Yeah.
In case people couldn't tell.
Yes.
Unless Shiva had a really, really deep voice all of a sudden. She'll be joining us when she joins us.
Yeah. See.
That Patreon, creators, we need your help. We'll archive that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not what we're looking for. That's not actually a thing that we need to read. Boy.
We need you to Patreon for Christ.
We've got a lot of emails this week.
Yeah. 15, looks like, if those are all legit.
Wow.
Like,
well, okay, let's see. Cool. Something like Ashkish Record Expert Powerful Indie. That's spam. I thought I went and archived all this shit earlier. Anyways. Yeah, it's been another week. You've got Rainforest prep coming up. I've got Nightmare Nights prep. I'm in the process of doing, only 34 days to go for that, I think.
Dun, dun, dun.
35, maybe. I'm not sure. Not that many days left.
Yeah, but it's time this week. I mean, Tyrion will probably, Tyrion should already be in Seattle and having set up.
Yep. And life's getting a little busy, but, shouldn't be missing too many episodes in the near future.
Bitch, you better not.
No. Well, she was like, oh, we're going into crunch. I'm like, I'm not so crunch that I can't take 2 hours to do a podcast.
Like, this is important.
Well,
it's your life.
It's not my life, but it is important.
And it's fucking furry life, man.
It's like 3 hours out of my week.
Nothing's more important than furry, bitch. Not your stupid brony thing.
Furry. Furries are where it goes, man.
Sure.
Where it is. So, yeah.
Right in your fur hole.
Today I recorded a 34-minute long story titled A Blacker Dog by Husketeer.
Yep.
Out of the new anthology available from furplanet.com, Inhuman Acts.
Yes, the furry noir anthology.
So
it was very, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Has a fucking amazing cover.
Mm-hmm. And so that will be up and available for free download off my YouTube channel here, basically, by the time this comes out. Well, Mm-hmm. Not for the, well, it'll be up very, very soon. Also, you know, available on For Planet's website, linked up there. So
yeah, cool. I'll link it from Bad Dog's blog,
probably. Yeah. So expect some more furry content from me in the near future. You should follow me on YouTube, user Just a Fox.
Oh, you know what I could do?
Do it, Phillies. Do it.
I could embed the YouTube video on the product page on For Planet for Inhuman Acts.
Oh.
So it could be like, hey, if you want a preview of one of the stories, here's an audio of one of them being read.
Yep. That sounds cool.
Yeah, okay. I'll look into doing that then.
Books. Yes, audiobooks. Yes. Words. People like my voice.
So books, like It Rained First, 10 new book releases. Like, no comics, no art books, just all prose, which is a really high amount for us to put out all at once.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that's kind of more Rainforest thing, isn't it? They do more of the
Yeah, books. But that wasn't on purpose. I mean, yeah, two of those books are the Rainforest charity anthologies, but like it's just that a bunch of our anthologies kind of came together at the same time, and they all ended up... Renee Carter Hall, a.k.a. Poet Tigress, is the writing guest of honor at Rainforest, and cool. She's releasing a short collection that has one novella and then three short stories. Now, the novella's been in one of our anthologies before, but the short stories are all new. And she was putting it out in ebook, and she got in touch with me, and I got back to her, and we're going to do a print edition of it.
Cool.
So that's one of the books, and she has a table right next to ours. So basically, we could sell the book, and she can be right there to sign them.
Nice. I wonder if her husband will be coming. Gerald.
Oh, I didn't know you knew her husband.
Yeah, he's an old friend.
Really?
Yeah, I've known him for years. I haven't talked to him recently. But
what a small fucking world.
Yeah. Small fucking world indeed. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. I recognize that name.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So maybe she and her husband will be there. That'd be nice.
I don't know.
Well, I won't be at Rainforest, so it doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
So Tyrion can say to her, you know, yeah, you're my husband's friend's old friend's wife. That means we can be friends too, right?
Yes.
It's getting into like a Spaceballs level degrees of separation.
Cousins, siblings, uncles, dog.
Former roommate.
What does that make us? Absolutely nothing. So it's been a dumb week for Texas.
Oh, it has. There was an image I retweeted where it was just the shape of the state.
Zero and
it
days. Said,
days without being a national embarrassment, zero.
Yeah, good old Irving, you shithole.
Yeah, apparently, I was reading tonight, apparently the mayor is a racist.
Yeah.
So I guess her reaction to this is not surprising given that, but...
So, yeah, everybody's heard of it. It's that one kid who brought a home ed clock to school, and they're like, oh, it's a bomb, except they didn't treat it like it was actually a bomb. And
yeah.
Pulled a bunch of other shady shit mm-hmm. and embarrassed this kid on the national stage, which in turn the national stage has turned around and told Irving that y'all are fuckheads. And
yeah.
Like the president's like, yo, come to the White House. And MIT's like, hey, we're the kind of person we want. Young entrepreneurs and inventors, come to MIT, the Facebook.
You know that whole STEM initiative that we're supposed to be instilling a love of science and math into our children? Yeah, let's just arrest people that show some kind of inclination towards doing that.
Electronic aptitude, making shit? Well, I mean, you know, Panther's got a bunch of, like, circuit boards and wires and electrical engineering shit. Oh, shit. Oh, no. He's making bombs with LEDs on them.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome because then people could see the bomb from really far away.
I want you to know, in my desk right over there, I've got some circuit boards that have, like, chips. And if you plug them in, they have a little light that lights up. They're dangerous. And if I put my watch on top of it, it has an LED readout, too. I am the most dangerous motherfucker in the
world. We should go to the under the off the back of the truck computer sale for a Saturday sale and buy a bunch of old, like, 2600 baud modem cards or something. It's like a barrel of them and go and, like, throw them at Irving City Hall or something. Be like, they're all bombs! They're all bombs! Just
dump them on the school doorstep.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Goodwill store over in East Plano that handles old electronics, and you can get, like...
See? There you go.
Get a bunch of cheap-ass, like, video cards that may or may not work. $3.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a Voodoo 2. That'll work, right? You can play Skyrim on that.
Yeah, but I like that. I love that Obama is starting to get to that. I give no fucks. I'm in the last 2 years of my presidency. Let me just dip my balls in racist mouths at this point. Like, so he tweeted from his personal account about, hey, come to the White House. We'd love to see your homemade clock. And it's like, great. So this kid's going to end up getting like a visit to the White House, probably a visit to NASA, probably like a scholarship or something to MIT.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually being scared shitless and arrested at 14 is probably not a bad price to pay for, you know,
getting some shit taken care of. Yeah. You know?
And, and if he has the aptitude and he goes, it was great. Like I saw somebody mentioned this, was that it's great. No matter what this kid does in life, the first paragraph of his Wikipedia entry is going to be arrested at age 14 for da-da-da, you know? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I hope he fucking wins a Nobel Prize in science or something like that, you know?
And just the way that they've handled this shit is...
And I actually saw people online doubling down on their stupidity. And it's like...
You fucksticks.
How many people have to point out how fucking completely wrong and stupid you're being, you know?
You know, it's this... People need to harden the fuck up and quit being such goddamn wimps.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's...
I mean, you realize...
Brown.
You realize the terrorists won.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
I thought that for a while.
It's 14 years later, you know, people that had... nothing to do with 9/11 directly, had no relatives involved and weren't there, still get weepy every fucking year. And it's like, there's been lots of tragedy in history. I think our fetishization of this tragedy is really not good. And we're still terrified of Muslims. We're still terrified of anything that even looks like anything. Like your mate like showed me the picture of the what is it called, the Moonin or something?
Oh, the Mooninite, the Mooninite clocks that from like Boston in 2007 that people freaked the fuck out about.
Yeah, like Boston thought it was fucking terrorism because these little things from Aqua Teen Hunger Force were planted around the city.
Oh, no, they're little LED things, and they're flipping us the bird. Terrorism!
Yeah. Right, yeah, because that's totally what terrorists do, you know? And just, I don't know. Yeah, terrorism is a real problem, but I don't know. It just, we're such fucking wimps now, you know? We're living in a police state, and, you know, anybody speaking out of line is like... I think McCarthyism will probably fucking make a comeback at this point, you know?
Kind of already is.
Yeah.
Maybe not from the right, but from the left. Who knows?
You know? Yeah, I mean, there's crazies on both sides. It's really sad that, like, I used to be able to be like, all the crazy fuckers are on the right. Thank God we don't have that problem. And now we do, you know? If you're not offended enough about something, then you're not a true liberal or something. Yeah. It hasn't really infected our politics, luckily. Most of our politicians are still pretty sane, and they're not...
They still have to appeal to a broader subset.
That's not fucking stopping the Republicans. They're actually paying
lip
service.
They appeal to a lot of... There's just a lot of crazy people out there.
Yeah, luckily, I think they're... The crazy people seem to be slightly outnumbered, about 60-40. But I don't know. I get really tired of this country sometimes. And then I'm like, I get really tired of the world. some other times, you know. Yeah. You hear about just fucked up shit everywhere else, and it's like,
it's like America, slightly less of a shithole than everywhere else.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
And then there's other places that are less of a shithole than America is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. You know what has always been a major turnoff for me is arrogance. I hate arrogant people, people that take themselves way too seriously. And America does that. You know, there's so much. So many people in America think that this country is the best country in the world, and it's really not in a variety of ways. And then you get like Texas, you know, I've talked to people from other states like, yeah, I've never seen any citizen of a state be so proud to be of that state than the way they are in Texas.
Well, and you don't see many other states that have like their state shape on a hat or whatever either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if it's football related, but nah, in Texas, you can just get a hat that has a shape of Texas
on it. Yeah, you get the special Texas edition F-150.
It's bigger.
And fucking Lone Star this and that, and a Texas flag on everybody. And we were a country, you know. Like, yeah, see how well that fucking worked out. You know, like Texas.
We were a country because we wanted to have slavery, and Mexico had abolished it.
Yeah, that's such noble sentiments, you know. It's like,
I will have you guys know that Jade Helm has concluded, and we didn't put all the Republicans in FEMA camps, and my application to the Gestapo was rejected. So
Gestapo,
I won't be able to dip my balls in the mouth of preachers while I put a Luger to their head. But it's okay because, you know, if they're jaw spasms when you shoot, you might lose your nuts, and that'd be bad.
Oh, man, just jerking off on their face as you, like, shoot their congregation one by one.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, crazies, man. It's tiresome.
Except I don't really like guns, so.
No. Yeah.
I just have to, like, club people to death or something. Club people to death with a baby seal.
Yes. That's how it works.
Uh-huh.
So.
Sorry to be such a downer. Hey, guys, how's your week going?
I'm producing audio stuff. Yay! And doing con prep. Because it's not that far away. And everything's on track. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we do shit so far in advance that it's like, what do we got to do at this point? We got to finalize the schedule so I can put it in the con book and hand that over to Fuzz.
Wait, what am I doing? I'm doing something with...
They're going to print it.
Oh, God.
But that's after Rainforest, so don't worry about it.
I was going to relax and jerk off after Rainforest.
For a month?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want a spa full of cum. I mean, for when I take time off in December, it's going to take me some time to build up that much fluid.
God. But no, That's kind of been my thing. It's just I go to the gym and I record audio and I work on con stuff, and that's life right now.
I've been copy editing and typesetting anthologies that we will be releasing. Yeah. And I've got to work on – I've still got one that I need to kind of poke into its final form. Final form. Ooh. Ooh, and then I've got to do some ebook layouts because we want to release some of them – some of them, at least, I'm hoping for most all the new things, but I want to put ebooks out on Bad Dog Books to coincide with their print released at the convention. I've already got Inhuman Acts set up to do that. It'll actually auto-launch when Rainforest starts, so that's cool.
Hmm.
Other than that, just working. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I think there's the thing with the car accident. There was three different insurance companies involved.
Oh.
So this becomes a clusterfuck because I've got an insurance company. The lady that hit me has an insurance company. She was driving a loaner car from a dealership at the time. Oh. So the dealership owns the car, and the dealership has an insurance company. So her personal insurance company has found in my favor. So that's a good start. And now, basically, like, the dealership's insurance agency could still file against my insurance, but then my insurance company has to make a decision as to who's at fault. And if the person that hit me's insurance has already said that I wasn't at fault, then I'm hoping that that means that my insurance company is not going to voluntarily want to pay out when the other party's already admitted fault, you know? So that looks like that'll probably go well. I need to, they're supposed to follow up with me with a place to go and get my car fixed. So also my car needs new tint. So I might say that the lady hit me hard enough to knock the tint off my windows and see if I can get them to do that.
Yeah, as well. It exploded and yeah, landed on her car, which is why her rear window is now tinted.
Yes, that's exactly how it works. Science. But yeah, it's like my car has minor damage, but and it's 10 years old, so I'm just kind of like, it's not really bothering me as much as it would have like a month after I bought it. But at the same time, part of me is like, you know, there's no reason to have all this damage on my fucking car that I didn't put there. And yeah. So I will definitely get it fixed up.
What a strange email.
Well, we are a furry podcast.
Yes, and this one is perhaps stranger than most.
Shiva says she's here.
Is she?
Yeah, she just texted me. And well, you.
Go ahead and start reading the first email.
Is that the strange one?
One on the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Since I guess Savern's in the loop on this. Concerned brother for teen sister. It's long. Yes, I'm sorry. Hello, I am a male, 22, and I have run into an issue that I have no good answer for, and thus I come to you, Grey Muzzles, for advice on this topic. My younger sister is now 15 and has declared lesbian for the past 2 to 3 years, but we live on the border of Mexico. We are American in America, and the church is extremely strong here, and has their hands in everything and every city position and even fellow family members. Ugh. Now the current situation is that she and her best friend, who is also female, do hug and cuddle up on the couch when we watch movies in our own home. If it's not our own home, my sister and her friend cannot be sitting on the same couch at the same time, or the friend will be yelled at and end up feeling bad and walking 5+ miles home. She refuses any rides. Either way, the extended family issue is smaller than the major issue that is currently at hand. I mostly added this to say that my sister knows of her surroundings and showing her gay pride. The issue is school. School here is bad, and within 3 weeks of school, my sister's public PDA with her best friend was reported to everyone, and I mean everyone. Mother's co-workers were informed by school somehow. The school called the extended in-town family for some reason. They left messages on my phone and my mother's saying along the lines of, if it continues, they both will be banned from school. We responded with a, what the fuck school, but they gave no shits. My sister, however, is mad that others were doing PDA and nothing happened to them, pointing out that they were straight couples. She was even more mad saying how marriage is legal now in all states and PDA of a lesbian couple should not matter more than non-gay couples. And she's completely right. By my mother's and most people's view, but not this is a Catholic city. I need advice on explaining this to her, how yes, being LGBTQ is fine, but not right now in this city, and it's dangerous for her grades as most teachers are old and more than likely Catholic traditional. Please give me advice on advising her. Normally she comes to me for all advice rather than our mom, and this is kind of eating at me really bad. Right now, she is just sitting saying it's not fair, and I feel like I should explain things better, but I don't know how. Extra notes that didn't really fit in. Family rule 1, family rule is no dating until 16. This is why the friend is a friend, not a girlfriend. Examples for the rule, them two separately can watch a movie in a theater is a no. Them two eating alone at a restaurant is a no. This rule was around during my teen years due to my cousins trying to be on 16 and pregnant many, many, many times. 2, her text messages with her friend are clean with no adultery, along with browser history and YouTube history. 3, I give don't care about my sister's sexuality. It's her thing, not mine. I just want her to be happy. 4, she is a furry, a gray wolf with a bite out of the right ear, if I remember right. Hopefully that's only in character. 5, she dresses male to the point of most people that see her call her male titles. actually misread that at first. I thought it said male titties, and I was like, that would seem really a mean thing to call somebody.
Hey.
There we go. Yes, Saffron.
Male titties.
6. The school has a popular cross-dresser for choir who dresses up in drag on fundraiser events, and the school has no issue with this. 7. Same choir teacher kicked my sis out of class because she refused to wear a dress for a concert in 4 weeks. We had to go to a school district board meeting and force her back in class, and as a bonus, she can wear tux. 8. We have no father. The force was the father. If any more details are needed, email me back. Oh, if you want to email her directly, just email it back saying so, and I'll forward it to her explaining it as you all being gray muzzle LGBTQ leaders in the furry fandom, which, yes, is a small stretch, but should help her with listening. Cursing and swearing are okay, just nothing about adultery or Adam and Eve. In the email, I'm assuming, not the podcast.
Well, thank you. Maybe she's just going to listen to this segment. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I know this is extremely long, but I think this sort of topic needed it. Anyways, from Error the White Tiger. And he attached a furry drawing that his sister did a few months back.
It's a wolf.
Arf.
So this whole thing, no adultery? I mean, isn't adultery when you cheat on a partner?
Yeah, he's got a lot of really bad spelling in here. I think he just means no adult-related material.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, so he's having trouble at school because your school's conservative.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, and like he's saying, his advice is to keep it on the DL while you get through school. May or may not be good advice. I don't know. Because, the culture's changing.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't necessarily have to hide.
But it sounds who you like are, not exactly but, in a cultural, you know,
for but it sounds area. Like they're not in a good area for that.
Well, it's like, are you on a tiny town, like a tiny border town? Are you in El Paso? I mean, it really matters because, you know.
It sounds like tiny town.
It mentioned
town.
That you've already had to push back once with the whole, you know, her not wanting to wear a dress for a concert and being able to wear a tux instead. I mean, you kind of do need to push back on that shit.
Yeah.
And you do need to go to bat for your sister. I mean, it's going to be rocking the boat a little bit, but you're never going to... It would be different if, you know, your mom and you weren't supportive. And, like, you didn't have family behind you. You know, if you're the one weird gay kid in school and your family's not too keen on it, you know, it might be healthier maybe to just kind of keep it on the DL. But right now, I don't necessarily see that that's the goal, is that the thing. Because you're there to support her. She has a female friend that's close to her. Your mom, presumably, I mean, you went as far to go to the school board meeting and force their hand there. You know, this is...
I mean, hate to say it. She's going to push, and there will come a point to when she's not going to be able to push anymore. And it's sad, but once you find that wall, you kind of just have to coast at that point until you get a point where you can leave that area, go to new horizons, and face different and better things. Whether that's college, moving out with one of the furs in the area. But just where he's talking about the school reaching out and, you know...
Yeah, the school calling everybody.
Tangential, distant family relatives.
Letting everybody know, hey, this girl's a big old lesbian.
I think that this is a tiny town. It has to be a tiny town.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of shit you see in small towns where everybody knows everything.
I wonder if there's some sort of rule or law about student privacy like that, though, because that seems really
invasive.
That's
one of those, hey, ACLU.
Yeah.
No, there is certain, you know, privacy laws, but, you know.
It sounds like some bullshit, though, and like the school contacting random-ass people to be like, this girl is a lesbian, she's going to corrupt your daughters and make them eat tacos. You know, that's not cool. And, you know,
she has to figure out which battle she wants to fight. I mean, if it's going to get to the point when you get kicked out of school, I mean, if you get kicked out of school, what's your options? I mean, is there another school nearby you can go to? Because some towns are weird and have multiple high schools. Or, question mark? Mine didn't, but, you know, I'm from the sticks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And again,
mine does now, like years
they
after.
They don't indicate, you know, where exactly they're at. So more than likely, they're not.
So
I don't know. God.
She kind of has to find that sweet spot between how much she's out and how much they can tolerate. And it sucks. Trust me. It really sucks. But if it comes down to it, if you get kicked out of school and you're stuck with either getting a GED or whatnot, you're going to make your life a lot harder in the long run.
Yeah. And I'm quite happy at this point that I never went through the traditional American high school system, because it probably would have chewed me up and spit me out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't really have any insight.
My high school is really, really skewed because I was about 2 years younger than all my other grades. Like, people in my class. So I graduated when I was 16, and that was, when you're a freshman at 12, things are a little bit weird.
Yeah. And, you know, Fuzz, well, he's from the UK, and they just beam that stuff into your brain, so.
Yeah, along with all the religion and the...
And Doctor Who.
The loving of Doctor Who, yeah.
It's required.
Required reading.
Yep.
And now we will read the Mass of Tom Baker 143.
Whereupon he fights the Cybermen again. Delete, saith the Prime.
No, I'm just imagining that the Eucharist is that put the jelly baby on your tongue.
Hey, I'd be okay with that.
So, I'm sorry we don't have more concrete, like, advice. It's just one of those weird situations where it's like, yeah, she shouldn't, like, closet herself, because that's obviously not going to work for her.
But she has to find the threshold.
She has to find, you know, it's like what battle she'll fight and what, you know.
And how much you try to find a way to make it tolerable to get through it and get out. And saying this as an LGBT person who's been through the bullshit. You know, I wasn't out in high school, but I wasn't in either. I just didn't talk about what I liked because I pretty much just wanted everybody to leave me the fuck alone. It didn't matter what was between your legs. Just leave me alone so I can get out of school.
Friends were just like, Shiva seems to really like Taco Tuesday. Yeah. I wonder if that means anything.
So, and like for me, I knew I was gay, but I was hiding that shit as hard as I could.
Mm.
Smokescreen.
Not proud of it, but what can you do?
I mean, that was also 10 years ago, more?
No, that was in the late 90s, mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
A lot's changed since then.
A lot has changed since then.
But it still takes time for that change to reach the small towns.
Mm-hmm.
Especially ones where the church is strong.
The mid-2000s would have been 10 years ago.
No. Yes.
I was like, wait a minute. She was like 10 years ago, and you're like, no, 2005. And I was like,
no,
wait a minute.
That's the late
90s. Late 90s to mid-2000s.
I knew I was gay at 13 and... Like,
I know,
out to
I know.
People when I was like,
but
17.
You gave that range, and I was like, and like Shiva was right in that.
I
range.
Was 17 in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, and in 2000 you were like what, 40, old man? No,
he's all only right. Like a year older than me. I haven't,
but I'm way older than Saverin because I like him young,
and with like big, gigantic. Ears.
Finnick ears.
He's so hung. Double hung.
I'm making like hand motions which don't translate to audio.
Yeah.
It went to video though.
I don't think we're ever going to do a video.
Oh God, no.
Put it up on your YouTube channel.
We have faces for radio.
I mean, you're all right on video, but when I lose like 200 pounds and maybe. Yeah.
All right, so we'll go on to the next email. I hope we helped? Question mark?
Or at least didn't hurt?
All right, so the next one is titled Blue Bunny.
Oh, that's that hot new drug that's making the rave scene?
I was thinking ice cream. Which I can't have because I'm lactose intolerant. It will be bad times for everybody involved.
I can't have drug, So.
All right. So, hey, guys. It's been a little while since I last wrote in. My last email was asking about when the right time to propose. We've been dating for somewhere between 2 to 3 years, but not too long after that, he cheated on me. Whoops. It was an LDR, so I'm fine with him sexing up pretty much anyone else, provided they do it safely, but that's not what happened. He got romantically involved with someone else. It really hurt to leave him, but not... But it seems I've been ignoring us drifting apart for a while. The couple weeks after we broke up, I, like an idiot, spent in a drunken stupor, other than work hours, and a friend stuck by my side to help comfort me. While we sat and talked, he confessed to me that he had an interest in me, and we had and had for a while. The problem here is that I'm worried about him just being a rebound from one failed relationship, and I know that I feel like I'm mostly over my ex, but at the same time, I know from past experience that I should give myself a little more time. You guys got any advice?
Go with it for now and see where it goes.
Keep it friendly and give yourself some time. That's what you do. Because rebounds can be unhealthy.
Handies don't count in a relationship, so you guys can still do that.
Yeah.
No. ignore my advice.
On another note, I lost a job I was so excited about getting. I was fired for legitimate reasons, but given that I had problems with a favorite employee, he's a homophobe and they found out I'm gay, he threatened me. Added to some fishy dates on the write-ups, one of them was when I was still in orientation, gives me reason to believe that the legitimate reasons were just nitpicking to get me out of there. That said, I'm still kind of depressed to be unemployed again, and I know I'll only go downhill from here. I'm avidly applying to everything that comes my way, but it could still take a while.
Oh my god, you're like 20. It is not all going downhill from here. Snap out of it!
Well, at least he's not a virgin by 30. I realize I have a problem with most jobs. It's that I'm slow. Physically slow, just to clarify. Even going as fast as I can on most manual labor jobs, I still fall behind. How can I improve myself? Should I try moving to another nearby city or living on the streets for a bit to see if I can get a better job? They're hiring go-go boys at the club in Charlotte. No. You should, like, get physically active.
Start. My response does not translate over audio.
Yeah. Fuzz makes angry face.
Go out... Do some physical activities. Get yourself a little bit maybe more in shape. Try and figure out why you're slow and work on ways to improve that.
Start walking.
Yeah.
Then start jogging. Then start running. Couch to 5K. Do that. And no, you should not go live on the streets. That's really a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good way to get AIDS.
As for a previous email, I sent an asking
about... You can catch AIDS from the streets, you know. I know there's a whole story there, but it's just sort of like I leaned on a dumpster once and now I have AIDS.
Thanks, Fuzz. As for a previous email I sent in asking about starting my own business in the furry fandom, I'm surprised you guys
marijuana
guessed last
once
word.
And now I'm gay.
I injected 3 whole marijuanas and now I'm dead. I'm surprised you guys guessed glasswork. I'm actually almost there. I should be starting to take a few more classes in stained glass pretty soon, and I'll finish gathering tools and materials, and I'll be ready to kick things off. Still no name yet, though. Suggestions. A little blue, but still hopeful. Legion Bunny. P.S. Sorry for the wall text.
Probably something involving
like
rabbits?
Legion Bunny...
Light glassworks?
Try to, like...
Lapine glass?
Yeah.
Glass Bunny?
Glass for your ass. If you're going to make
your
the glass dildos.
Yeah, but those, that's made out of, like, Pyrex and not stained glass. There is a severe difference.
Okay.
Know the difference. It could save your life.
Right. Oh, we're talking
and
stained glass. Right. Okay, yeah.
So.
So. Hi, guys.
You've got an anonymous question. Hey, and Shiva's here. She joined us after we started the email section, but.
Yes,
he had reason.
So there's the next anonymous. Oh, you got on your phone. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I kind of lost my car title, and I've still lost my car title, but now we figure out how to get another one.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
It's not any less panic-inducing because we've got like an hour to do it tomorrow. So we'll see.
After that, your car dies.
No, after that, we have to wait till next week to get the title, and then. Let's see. Anonymous. Yeah. Anonymous asks a question. If this isn't too weird, what was your first sexual experience like? Could you give a brief explanation of how it happened and what it was like for you? Thanks. I love you all. My first time, I had a boyfriend in Canada. For real. He was actually Canadian. We had done some sexy TSing on one of the perm moves. Blah, blah, blah. we had developed feelings, decided to come down and visit, got a hotel because my dorm mates were jerks and, you know, just didn't want to be around them when I lose my virginity. We got a hotel room. We did the deed really quickly after getting together. You know, used a condom. It wasn't anything special. I didn't come. I enjoyed myself thoroughly, but didn't come. Didn't come for a very long time, at least from penetration. And, yeah. Now, and I didn't bleed, which is a lot of things for women, because apparently we had done a good enough job. However, later on in that weekend, we went a little bit too fast. And, yeah, I discovered what people talk about ouch. Mm. And, yeah, the mists are kind of right up there with...
The red tide came.
It was scary and unpleasant.
I bet.
But at least it wasn't like that the first time. At least the first time was not traumatic and horrifying. And oh, I learned God, to slow the at, slow your ass down and wait for everybody to get warmed up.
Yes. You don't go zero to banging.
Yeah.
Just anywhere.
Yeah.
My first sexual experience, like any sort, was I was 16. A friend of mine was similar. He'd like just turned 16.
Wait, so how old were you?
So as 18.
Okay.
So we were a couple gay teens that were wanting to experience what it was like to have our dick sucked. And thus we did.
And the vacuum cleaner just wasn't doing it for you.
So yeah, I went from never been kissed to fucked in about an hour.
Wasn't like romantic. We were just like, hey, want to like fuck around? Yeah, sure. And so, yeah, that's kind of it.
I was a late bloomer. So I was like, I'd made out with girls before when I was a teenager, like 14, 18, stuff like that. But my first actual any kind of sex, I was 23. And it was with my first internet boyfriend.
Yay!
When I'd found the fandom and we met at a hotel about halfway between our houses, considering I lived in Florida and he lived in Texas.
That was a bit of a distance.
So, yeah, it was in Mississippi, actually.
Which is one of the most gay-friendly parts of the country.
Right, totally. Yeah, I just realized that. Yeah, it's a great place to have gay sex for the first time. Yeah. So, yeah, I sucked his dick. And he's like, oh, no, you don't have to do anything if you're not, you know, 100% comfortable with it. Because I was one of those, thought I was straight, and then moved on to by later, and I was like, no.
Well, like, for me, it was just one of those, hey, you want to do that? Yeah, sure. It was really matter of fact. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like we were dating or anything either. Like, we were friends and we hung out and just, want to try this? All right.
Hey, bro, you want to suck my dick?
A bro job? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bro job.
Totally. Yeah, as long as the balls don't touch.
Yeah, no balls touched.
You're all good. Yeah.
I didn't have any boyfriends. I didn't have any girlfriends. I barely had any real friends. Never mind romantic interactions. Hence going from never been kissed to fucking in about an hour and a half. Because we had been talking for months on the internet. And then suddenly here's someone in person. But on the other hand, it did me a lot of good to that. Hey, you know, I'm not completely hideous and disgusting, and so might actually like me.
Huzzah. All right, so let's go on to the next email.
Okay, Buzz. I guess that'd be me, because I read the first one. All right, this is an anonymous Tumblr. Mic there. Dear Notcast, is it true that fennec ears are sensitive like Ferengi ears? If so, how skilled are your Earth Panthers at Umax? Sincerely yours, totally not the Ferenginar Slavers Guild.
They are very sensitive indeed, and, you know, I don't have males or female slaves employed to caress my lobes, as some rich Ferengi do. I don't have enough gold-pressed latinum for that, but I will say that Earth Panthers are very good at umax. And I make sure not to engage in it myself, because if you do that too much, you can go blind. That's why I was chuckling earlier. I looked up what this was referring to. I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I recognize that.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I watched DS9.
I'm a nerd.
But,
Wow, this next one's a wall. Yep. I'm glad it's not mine.
I will just give this a crack.
Fall on that grenade.
I'm going to take a little nap.
Okay.
Checking out now.
You can find this next audiobook on my YouTube channel.
If you won't be needing me for a while, sir, I'll shut down.
Pew. All right, so living in a gilded age. Savrim, the reason that Final Fantasy VII through IX look horrible on modern hardware is because VII and VIII were both horrible games. But I'm writing in for reasons other than to continue my early 90s kids' Final Fantasy Vendetta. I don't disagree with you.
Oh, well, shit, mic drop! I'm out!
VII...
You don't give a fuck about video games.
I'm playing the part of, like, maybe the one person that does. I don't know.
The, Eight was the weakest of the three PlayStation
Final Fantasies. I don't care. Keep reading the email.
And Final Fantasy VII came out 18 years ago, quickly becoming the Final Fantasy favorite of people who never played Final Fantasy VI. Now, on to the email. No, what I'm writing in about is a recurring theme I've noticed in several recent emails. Giant throbbing horsecocks. No, crippling guilt and its close cousin shame. Wall of text follows. If Shiva ends up reading this, I'm sorry. So sorry.
Dodge that bullet.
I get to read this one. Mm-hmm. If you fail under question A of the checklist at the bottom, but don't feel... But you fall under the question A of the checklist...
No, you fail.
Fail under question A of the checklist at the bottom, so I don't feel too bad about it. Okay, and we'll get to that. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. Now, don't get me wrong. Guilt and shame when born out of true regret for having done something that harmed somebody are semi-constructive emotions. But in my experience, being exceedingly generous, that's maybe a tenth of the percent of the total guilt and shame people feel. By and large, those two emotions are among the most worthless and useless ones humanity ever came up with. The only people they usually serve are those who are trying to control your life, and half the time, they don't even serve those people. In the process, the guilt and shame is literally killing the people who are suffering from it. I should know, considering my doctor almost had me institutionalized at the age of 17 because he was afraid of the stress of going back home after my appointment would cause me to have a stroke. 17, even without a hardcore Christian upbringing, even without hiding my bisexuality from my family, I'd come to realize it but didn't especially care because I had literally never thought I should really worry about it, I was killing myself with guilt-created anxiety issues. And what was I so guilty about? The fact that I couldn't fix my broken family. A family that was broken primarily because of one man who was so bone-lazy he would call my brother and I from other parts of the house to let the dog out while he was sitting next to the damn door. Blend that level of lazy with emotionally manipulative and passively sadistic, and you've got a great recipe for messed up kids. And I'm the member of the family who liked him the most. TLDR Vosrin, growing up with an emotionally manipulative son of a bitch for a father fucks with you. Since then, through a lot of therapy and soul-searching, I've learned a few things about guilt. And whenever I hear somebody talking about feeling guilty about their sexuality or gender identity or being a furry or any of the other myriad reasons that people let guilt eat at them, I want to help. There are a lot of different issues people deal with, a lot of things they feel guilty about, but here are the big things I've learned to help deal with it. You deserve to be happy. Needless guilt always tells you otherwise, and it's got a long, long list of bullshit reasons for why you don't. The trick is learn to recognize it, and where it's crawling on the wall and whisper at you, and you can hit it with a shoe. The trick is to learn to recognize it, find where it's crawling on the wall to whisper to you, and hit it with a shoe. Set that up. 2. This isn't your fault. Whatever this is, it probably isn't. Your family doesn't accept that you're LGBT? Not your fault. Friend has a drinking or drug problem that isn't going away? Not your fault. People you know have bigger problems than you do? Not your fault.
Okay, the second part is your fault if you're the drug dealer.
True. Yes. Or if you're buying them liquor.
But moving on. 3. Stay the fuck away from the Tumblrites. I don't mean Tumblr as a whole. I mean the white knight cesspool that seems to exist solely to point at you, say, you have more privilege than X, stop feeling good about yourself. These people worship guilt and shame, rather like the cultists in a game of Call of Cthulhu worship eldritch abominations and seek to bring them up to the world to destroy all humanity. Now, that's not currently legal to deal with them the same way as one deals with the cultists, but you can certainly ignore them. And frankly, it'll probably hurt them more than catching a round from a 12-gauge Mossberg wood.
What the fuck's a Mossberg?
A shotgun.
Oh, does it shoot moss?
No.
Why is it called a Mossberg?
That's the manufacturer. They're over-under shotguns. They're big.
Oh.
Anyways.
Google it.
Yeah, you've got an iPad right in front of you.
I'm just being a dick. I don't care.
4. Use the guilt checklist. As I mentioned up above, sometimes guilt and shame are justified. Hitler, he gets to feel guilty. Stalin, same thing. Fred Phelps, he should have felt shame over what he did, and rumor is that he might have towards the end. Kim Davis, check, though I doubt she ever will. How do you know if the guilt is justified? Here's the handy little checklist I was told to use. As soon as you answer no, break out of the list. A. Was somebody harmed? Yes or no. Did you harm them personally? Yes, no. B1. Disappointment doesn't count as harm. Go back and review your answer to B. B2. Neither does what will the neighbors / reverend / family / Avon lady think. Do it again. C. Could you have done anything more to prevent the harm? C1. Not being gay, trans, bi, etc. doesn't count. That is something you can't change about yourself, and suppressing it entirely isn't healthy either after a while. Should have done something doesn't count either. D. Was a thing you came up with as a Hail Mary to let yourself say yes to see something that you actually realistically believably... Yeah. Yes to see something that you actually realistically believably could have done? E. Did someone else refuse to let you stop it? F. Are you feeling this because somebody else says you should? E is especially important for those of us suffering from emotional caretaker syndrome. This is the side of the guilt-shame continuum that I'm still working on myself.
Conundrum.
How did I say continuum? Bleh.
Begins with a C.
You're a time travel fag.
Yes. I'm still working on myself, but it is an ongoing process. The thing to remember that, yes, you may know people with bigger problems than yours. You may know people who stubbornly refuse to get help beyond endlessly bitching at you. You may know people who routinely threaten to kill themselves, who eventually actually do this after the umpteenth time you've talked them down off the proverbial ledge. Not your fault. They have problems, yes. Hopefully they'll get help for them. But you can't make them do it. If they eventually take extreme actions, you can't really stop them from doing that either. All you can do is listen and try to dial things back. If they won't let you, they won't let you. And that's on them. At any rate, if you've answered no to any one of these questions, not your fault. This is when you get the shoe, find the little guilt spider crawling around your house, and squash the fucker. I know, it looks big and scary, like it has more legs than it should be possible in a universe with a kind and loving God, but it squishes just the same as any other eight-legged freak. Just be sure you've got some tissues handy to wipe up the ish from the wall. They can get pretty bloated if they've been feeding on you for a while. And it's okay to cry afterwards. The first few times you're going to have to, probably because it's going to hurt like hell when you finally let go of the responsibility you've been taking on for the world. I know that, on some level, you've taken a strange sort of comfort in letting everything be your fault. It gives a strange sense of control to feel like you failed, instead of never being part of the equation to begin with. But it doesn't do anybody any good for you to take the world's problems on your shoulders. It's a really big world, and its problems were meant to be shared. Sorry for the wall of text, guys, but I sincerely hope that this all helps somebody. If it does, it'll mean that my own years of hurting have actually done some good in the world, and maybe help wipe the karmic slate a little bit cleaner for the guy responsible for most of them. Hallingly yours, the Wolfie Man.
You know, we've had some really good emails. I have to say that's one of the best ones we've ever had.
This week we have some great emails.
I would say that would has to be high in the top 10 list.
10 out of 10. High five, dude.
Yeah. I don't have any more to add. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, we can just leave that where it is. That's a standalone email.
And actually, we are right at the hour mark, so we are going to stop and save, and I'm going to play a track off the new album, Worlds Apart, the new Final Fantasy IX OC Remix album.
Final Fantasy.
Hey, it's...
And just after his.
It's Creative Commons music. I can use it without feeling guilty.
You and your final faggotry, God.
Yeah. You want to get into a fist fight over which Final Fantasy VIII character is better, Squall or Irvine? The answer is Irvine, dude. He had a shotgun. Fuck you. Anyways, be right back.
Irvine sounds too much like Irving, and we've established that that place is a shithole.
Anyways, so we're back, and she was going to read an email.
Let's see. It's a quick Tumblr one. I hear a ton of people talk about the Robin Hood, about Robin Hood and the like, but I don't think I've ever had anyone mentioning having the same furry awakening I did. The squirrel scene in The Sword and the Stone was really it for me, even though I didn't realize it until years later. There you see, I'm ugly, horrible, grouchy old man.
And he broke that little red squirrel's heart.
Yes.
Now, which one came first, Robin Hood or Sword in the Stone?
I don't know. I think Robin Hood. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was like...
I want to say Sword... Well...
To the back, Google.
Yes, to yeah, Google, quickly. Yeah, yeah, I totally recall that, like, boy, that squirrel wants to fuck Merlin.
Sword in the...
But you know what's funny? Stone. I've actually...
I actually recently seen people draw porn of that character.
Oh, what, the...
The little red squirrel.
Oh, okay. What I was going to say, I actually have heard... okay, Robin Hood was 1973.
When's Sword of Stone?
I've actually heard...
1963 for Sword in the Stone.
Oh,
I know, okay. So Sword in the Stone came first.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember it weirdly because I think it was... It got a theatrical re-release sometime in the
80s. I always thought it was a neat film.
But I have heard... One or two other people, particularly in the TF community, mentioned Sword in the Stone as being the furry awakening for them.
Yeah.
Which, that transformation, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then much later, like Brother Bear.
That's yeah, like, you know, I never saw Brother Bear.
It was all right. Yeah. Had a good soundtrack.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen the movie more than once, but it had a good soundtrack.
Okay.
Because I got it from, or back when I worked at Toys R Us, it was one of those things that lurked in the system until I got marked down to a penny. And you're supposed to destroy it. I'm like, how about I just give you guys a penny? Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Fuzz.
Nazi furs. Sad face. So, last week, Shira, Keo and I had just...
Talked about the folks at...
Talked about the Nazi furs at MFM. And we got a little ranty on how... fucking retarded it was.
Okay.
Sorry for being so neurotypical. And we've got... So this email is a response to that. Just filling you in, since you weren't here. Dear Foxface, Wolfbutt, and Assorted Letter-Shaped Furniture, please forgive this Berlin Wall of Text. I just finished listening to episode 293 and felt I needed to write in and say a few things about Nazi furs. I created the Nazi Furs Live Journal community in March of 2005. At the time, there were only a few of us, Chris Sawyer, Jax the Bat, Rotokatsky, and myself, creating art or stories that were set during World War II. I sent out a few emails, and the community became the first unified group of furs specifically interested in the history of Nazi Germany and the Third Reich set within the furry world. The intended purpose of the community was to be an umbrella group encompassing the varied interests of individual furs within a specific topic. This was intended to include, but not be limited to, reenacting, uniform fetish, military history and tactics, and anthropomorphic art set during World War II. I myself participate in battle reenactments and living history displays in which we strive to accurately present an impression of what events during the period were like. I am a paramedic in real life, and at events I portray a German army medic, often providing very real first aid to other reenactors who have injured themselves. My kit rivals in cost what most fursuiters pay for their costumes, upwards of $3,000 so far, and includes medical equipment, medication examples, and other everyday items to portray a typical medic of the era. Our group started out as a bunch of history nerds talking about our interest in military history and incorporating anthropomorphics into it. We posted book and movie reviews, articles on military history, and art of our characters. We attempted to pre-screen members in the interest of maintaining security within our community. A close eye was kept on all new members, and new member posts were moderated until it was determined by one of the maintainers that the new member was not, in fact, a fucktard. We have in the past declined requests for membership from racists, trolls, and hate mongers. We even unfortunately had to eject one of our own for posting links to racist content and bringing a personal grudge against another member into the pages of our group. Soon there were awkward children that think being a Nazi is cool just for its shock value. many of whom we had rejected from the group, showing up at fur meets in uniforms or creating concentration camps on Second Life and calling themselves Nazi furs or furzies.
Furzies.
I felt the thing that I had intended to create and curate had become corrupted and so set the community to open membership and simply faded into the background. Now you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who even knows me from back then. I feel that Nazis have become a cliché, distilled to its core base as the bad guy in cheap zombie movies. Much in the same way we have little kids dressing as pirates and ninjas, despite both groups having a deplorable history as assassins, rapists, murderers, and terrorists of their time. The true horror of atrocities are lost on society a mere 70 years later. The recent 9/11 anniversary, in which many of my paramedic and firefighter brothers lost their lives in service to their community, drives this realization home for me, as I only saw posts on Twitter and Facebook about it this year from a smattering of my EMS acquaintances, and that was only 14 years ago. I can still remember where I was on that day. I doubt it will hold the same meaning for my grandchildren that it does for you or me. This does not excuse the behavior of individuals who put on the uniform of a defunct military to seem edgy and cool, though. The same can be said of individuals slapping on Soviet regalia, as Stalin committed atrocities against the Jewish people as well. I just offer it as an insight as to why these kids don't seem to understand the gravity of what they're doing. After hearing the discussion at the end of last week's episode, I felt I should write in and say that what Nazi Furs has become was never what it was intended to be. Never did I seek to create a group that would go out and intentionally make people uncomfortable. And to those of you who over the years have asked me, well, why call it Nazi furs then? I named it because specialized German World War II uniform fetish furs wouldn't fit on a business card. Dictated, not read at all, blah, 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 banal heart.
I can.
The more you fucking know, huh?
And I remember this group because way back in the day, I live journal, all that other stuff.
Live journal, remember that.
Yeah. And I remember the Nazi Furs group, and I remember looking sidelong on it. And then when I read into it, and, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, they're less about the ideology, more about tactics. Because I know a bunch of people who are really into World War II and are really into the German side as far as tactics and the various equipment and gear and all that stuff, and not so much about the mass murdering.
They had their Krott space magic going on, let me tell you.
So, yeah, I understand that. I thought back in the day, so many years ago, that after finding out what the group's purpose was and that you guys really kind of screened out the racist bullshit, I thought then what I think now, and that Nazi was a poor choice of words for that group. Because, yes, it was about the Nazis, but when you use that word, people think about the genocide factors, and that's not what you guys are into. So maybe calling it something else, maybe not as long as what you had in there.
But like German military history or something. Or I don't just know.
World War uniform II. Fetish. Military uniform fetish.
Sure. Or World War II uniform or something, or anything along the lines. I thought it was a poor choice of words.
Well, see, you know, America, France, the UK, and Russia didn't have Hugo Boss designing their shit.
Sure. Yeah, this guy, we discussed this last week. This guy actually was talking about how Hugo Boss designed their thing. He's like, I'm going to wear my Hugo Boss tomorrow. I'm going to be so sexy. I'm like, oh, Christ.
I can't lie. The German uniforms are really fucking sharp looking. They've always been.
And if you want to have some weird fetishization, see that shit in the anime community.
Man, I feel so persecuted. Why can't people hear the word Nazi fur and not think of the genocide? I mean, it was such a long time ago. Can't you just admire our pretty uniforms instead?
I wish I could, but unfortunately, there's the...
the genocide!
The genocide.
Check out this really cool submachine gun that we did, the MP40. It's still pretty neat.
Yeah, and
We made the first fully automatic machine guns.
There's a lot of neat technological and everything else that came out of Germany in that time and age. Unfortunately, there's the genocide.
There's also the killing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. This was an interesting email to get, though, another one of those. Man, we got some good emails this week.
Yeah.
It's very well written. Check out this awesome thing we made. It is so useful now. We made it for killing Jews. It's like, that's great. I could have gone without knowing that last part, but Thank you, IBM.
And the thing is I go and
Henry Ford, he didn't like the Jews. Check out this.
Like the gentleman at MFM that I saw, I was like, man, I'm not Jewish, but if I was Jewish, I would be freaking rip shit mad about. Yeah. I mean, especially if I had anyone who had family, like grandparents back from then.
Hey.
Because there are still some around.
I know for a fact that Defmech would have pushed their shit in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's actually been beat up by neo-Nazis before.
Yeah, or anybody who's had serious runs in and they're not doing just cosplay. And I'm sorry, it's just, I appreciate World War II history buffs. I do. Calling it Nazi first was a bad choice.
Eh, you know, he now has 10 years of insight to realize that was a bad idea. But this is an interesting bit of historical knowledge for the fandom.
Yeah, I'm just like, of all the things to cosplay, I'm like, I'm going to cosplay as the worst fucking human beings in the history of the human race. That sounds like a great idea that will endear me to both children and animals, especially Jewish ones.
I mean, you're kind of on track, you know, you could be a Mongolian or you could be
persecute gays too.
Yeah.
Well, the Mongolians, like, completely wiped out entire ethnic
cultures. Oh, yeah. They're, you
know, they're mountains of skulls and shit. But and yeah, anyways.
Going back to also the pirates and the ninjas and everything else, those are also several hundred years.
Well, you know what? I'm actually totally fine with Nazis being a cliche bad guy in cheap movies. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Mock them.
Yeah.
Fucking put him in these movies as a generic bad guy, the inept, you know, goose-stepping morons, you know, and fucking let that be their legacy as this cartoonishly evil villain that ultimately accomplished fucking nothing.
Well,
and there is a little bit of a concern there that shit might happen again if people don't take history seriously, but at the same time, there are still fucking people that believe this, and there are still people that are in, like, neo-Nazi groups and stuff like that. And I think belittling their beliefs is a really good thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we had the bit of fandom history lesson and opinion.
And fuck racists. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. All right. Next one doesn't have anything to do with Nazis. Dildo stories.
Is this mine then? Oh wait, no. I read the Nazi fur thing.
I'm gonna read the dildo thing, and then Shiva gets a Tumblr question. It's like things worked out that way.
Okay.
All right. Dildo stories. To the Knights of Nottingham. Over 2 years ago, I got my first dildo from Bad Dragon. Using your advice, I remember that my eyes are bigger than my anus, and got the small Griffin. Remembered Savrin talking about how the medium hardness was still too soft for anal, so I ordered a hard one. I bought J.O.'s water-based anal lube to go with it, since it's a silicone toy. I bought condoms to go over to ease the cleaning process. And you know what? That was awesome. That toy has never let me down. Thanks to y'all.
Woohoo!
Yay! Fast forward to this year. My friend was feeling overly generous and insists on making up for missed birthdays by ordering me $500 worth of whatever I won off Bad Dragon. After thanking him profusely, I start thinking, well, I've had my fun with this small griffin, so I ask him to get me a medium unflared chance with a hard base and a medium shaft. Along with this, 10 bottles of cum lube, since I've since done research and found it to be rather good. A couple non-dildo editions later, he's ordered it, and it arrives a few months after. Now, I'm not going to be one of those people who goes from beginner to horsecock balls deep in ow seconds, so I phone up with a friend with benefits and ask him if he'd be okay helping me with it. He says it's fine, and the next time he can come over, we try it out. He uses my old dildo to stretch me out first, and so much lube it stained the towel I put down, I took a chance. That's not the part that spurred this email, however. After we're done and I was pre-washing it, I noticed some crescent marks near its head. Turns out, in the effort to keep it from slipping out, I dug my fingernails into it and caused permanent damage to the soft silicone. Let this be one more piece to advise to future dildoers. Silicone is tough, but the softer varieties can still be damaged by fingernails. Cut them before use. Your trans girl Pango from Georgia, Kylie.
Good advice.
Wow. Yep. The more you know, explore it.
I do think it's rather hilarious that Bad Dragon has the Sugar Star, which is the pony vagina toy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They made the male unicorn or whatever, and it's just a smaller chance that's in, like, pony colors. So it's like, all right, well, they might not buy the generic horse cock, but they'll buy one if it's pony themed. Put this rainbow horse cock up your butt, kids.
This is the most absurd question I could think of, and I couldn't stop laughing at the thought of you guys doing this, and I'm sorry. Could you guys do the best dolphin noises you possibly can? Slash, slash, slash.
You're going to die! Slash, slash, slash!
All right, well, I hope you appreciate that.
We have no shame.
Donate to our Patreon.
Very, very little shame.
All right, folks, yours.
Nice. Oh, wait, I get an appropriate one. Furry book spotlights. Hey, Notcasters, I was just wondering if I could get a signal boost on the show for my book talk videos I've started to put together on YouTube. The first video I got up is a video on Kyle Gold's Green Fairy, and I'll have Summer Hill by Kevin Frayn and Trevor Strix by Fuzzwolf by the end of the week. Thank you, Shiva. Patting my back. In the videos, I'll mostly just be talking about the books and my experiences with it and anything interesting I find out. My YouTube channel is Foxy Rayfar. Thanks, Rayfar. And that's Foxy spelled Foxehreyfar. One word.
Like and subscribe.
Yes. Like, oh dear, you should probably get an XTube channel for your reviews of the adult books, because you'll be like, I came.
You know, I read this story, and then, he used the word tailhole like a million times.
And then Trevor took the nightstick up his
butt. Oh my god, you remember the nightstick.
I can't.
It kind of stands out, Fuzz. It's basically, you know,
the signature.
If it was written today, people would get pretty upset because it would be police brutality.
I was literally just thinking that. I was like, I don't know if I could do that you nowadays.
We could buy you a nightstick and find out if you can do that.
I meant post a story like that.
You know, I'm just saying that foxes in Fuzz's universe come pre-lubed. They just are naturally self-lubricating.
I wrote the putting the lube on into that story.
Okay, good. Anyways,
because cops in my universe have tubes of KY in their uniform belt in case of cavity searches.
In case they need to put a fox in his place.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Some relationship help.
Okay.
From another furry otter. Okay, I've messaged you before, but this is different. This is something that has never happened to me before, nor that I think it would ever.
Dear penthouse.
I never thought this would happen to me. I took the whole thing.
They actually have put out the penthouse letters in book form. You can buy them at certain bookstores.
Oh, that's awesome. My first time was with Jared from Subway.
I was 12. Oh, shit. No. Anyways, so I posted a furry friend post on Reddit looking for some friends. This one man in particular has grown really attached to me, though. At first, I thought he was just RPing with me, but then he continued to really like me. I didn't think anything of it, but he's taking this pretty far. He hasn't even seen me, and he keeps telling me he's falling for me just by what we've been texting each other. I honestly never thought this would happen to me, and I don't know what to do. Just right now, only after we started talking, he's talking to me about buying me a collar. Kinky, but I'm not sure how I feel about taking it from him. Anyway, I honestly feel like he's falling for me, and I don't know what to do about it. I wouldn't mind actually seeing him one day, but not now. Not while I'm with my family. But I really don't want to hurt him. He's already sounded like he was going through rough patches before. Don't want to put him through that again. Thanks, you're all the best. That's a creeper. He's a creeper. That's creepy.
Hey, little wolf. I want to hug you and kiss you and touch your tail.
No, seriously. That's a bit much. It reminds me of that one pic, you know, it's the fox clinging on to the new guy. I've only known you for like 2 days, but we're going to be mates forever, and I'm going to move to California to be with you.
Furries move faster than lesbians.
Yes.
Yeah, it was so...
First date, they bring the U-Haul.
The image was one of Louis Furry Wolf. He's from a series of relationship advice ones, and that one was don't stick your dick in crazy.
Yes, a very important note.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would go...
Don't give this guy your address. Dude, do not.
Yeah, I don't know if I would mail you a collar.
Then he shows up and puts it on you himself.
Yeah.
And then you go back to his basement.
Yeah, no.
Don't do that, kids.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go, like, completely to creeper level, per se, but I would sort of like...
Emotionally desperate.
Okay, look.
Yeah.
OP here. the guy he wrote in, seems slightly put off by this.
Yeah.
And I would be quite put off by this myself.
I'd be like, whoa,
even in my
whoa,
younger
whoa.
RP days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm saying he might not have bad intentions, but to protect yourself, I would definitely maybe start to distance yourself.
Back off a little.
Yeah. Because this doesn't really sound like a situation that you should get involved in.
Yeah, doesn't sound the best.
I'm getting the bad vibes, so, yeah.
All right.
That tingling in my knee means it's Creeper.
All right, so next one.
Telepathically tells me, and you wind up in his basement being forced to paint tiny figurines while chained to a radiator.
Oh, so he plays Warhammer is what you're saying.
Yes.
And he needed a minion to paint his army.
You would have to paint his 2,000-point Imperial Guard army.
Oh, fuck that noise.
2,000 points of just Imperial Guardsmen. That's a lot of points.
So, next one is for Fuzzwolf.
Oh.
Dear Fuzzwolf, shut up and take my money already. I've been trying to pick up a copy of Uncover since FWA 2015. You didn't have any in stock at your booth. Since then, I haven't seen it in stock on Fur Planet. Where or when can I purchase a copy of it? Also, Saverin, you've mentioned MDEF and Roland doing new podcasts several times now on the cast. Are they still podcasting? I enjoyed both the GCC and Unfurled, but I have no idea if they're working on any new podcasts. Links?
Okay, Fuzz, first question goes to you. Where can they purchase copies of Uncovered?
Okay, so I believe I need to get more stock from Sofwolf, but you can also purchase it directly from the publisher, which is sofawolf.com. So if you want to go to them, mm-hmm. they carry it. Rabbit Valley also carries it, so if they're at a con, you can probably get it from them. I will be ordering more stock of the Sofwolf stuff that I'm out of or short on, though. So I'm just really swamped with prepping for RF right now. But that's something I'll be doing once that con's going. And I can answer the second half of the second question, because I don't know if you know Roland.
Yeah, Unfurled. Well. He follows me on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, the other podcast... Well, Unfurled's come back. I think we mentioned that. Yeah. Briefly before. They've had a couple episodes out since. But the other one that he's on is Fangs and Fonts, mm-hmm. Which is fangs, like what's in an animal's mouth, and fonts, which is what you typeset in, and those different
InDesign.
Those different funny letters that you pick from the drop-down menu in Word or whatever.
Yes.
And InDesign. And that is a writing podcast that he does with Ocean Yanara and Voice, which if you're into the furry writing into furry books is very good to listen to, so you should check it out.
Cool. MDefMech is currently working on a new show with his co-host from the GCC and Bullshit. I do not know where they are posting them at this point. I should probably ask him.
Well, what's the name of it?
I don't even recall. I don't think he's told me. I've been on one of their shows. And it was a conversation that morphed into, oh, by the way, we're recording this for the podcast. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'll show up on your podcast. That sounds fun. Mm-hmm. But he is doing some new stuff, and I'll have information for y'all soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably next week, so I can be like, oh, okay, the podcast is this, and there's like X episodes out.
Cool.
Soon, TM. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. So that was...
So is that Blizzard soon, or is that Saverin soon? Which soon are you using?
Or is that Duke Nukem Forever soon?
next week we're going to record, right?
Yeah, because I'm not going to RF, so I'll still be in town.
I'll still be here.
I'm not...
Or will I? Death will comes you for you here? On Swift Cox.
As far as I know, provided sickness or something else doesn't...
So, yeah, we'll let you guys know next week, and hell, I might even put it in the show notes if I find out. I mean, I can talk to him on Skype. We're going to PAX South together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
That's actually something I forgot to mention.
Actually, yeah. So you were able to get tickets?
Yep, I got a ticket, and I got a hotel room.
Nice.
Are you using the same hotel that we used last time, or a different one?
At the La Quinta I stayed at for San Japan.
Ah.
It was nice, and they had a good continental breakfast and the Texas one that saved waffle makers.
Is, in fact, next to the Denny's. Yes?
Yes.
Good.
A La Quinta that is, in fact, adjacent to the Denny's. I got the room. It was only $150 a night.
Not bad.
And it's, like, maybe a half a mile to the thing. It's all surface streets, though, and there's, like you walk across the street and you're in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go down to the food court and just take the river walk to the center.
Yeah, oh, basically like, okay. What we did last time.
Kinda. Yeah, and it's like apparently they're really expanding PAX South this year.
Yeah, I'm looking, with trying to save and buy a house, we basically looked at it, saw it went up in money, times it by three, looked at hotel costs. It's like, fuck, that's going to take us like over 6,000 to do.
Over next 6,000?
No, 1,000. Close to 1,000 between food and merch and everything else. So like,
because buying a backyard,
like, 75.
Yeah,
it's 75 for 3 days. That's not bad.
Oh no, Reg
it's not
bad.
It's mostly everything tied together with trying to buy a house.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're signing for another year here, so that's
good. Yeah. So
I'll just use book money. Anyways, by the way, Kidscene 47, there's an audiobook version narrated by some fur fact named Saverin. You should look it up on audible.com and buy my book. All right.
Should I take this one?
And it's the last pair.
The last pair? Okay. So this is an anonymous ask a question. It is a question and then a follow-up to that question.
There's two?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the last two.
The app on the phone combines them
probably
when they have
them all.
Nests them together when they have the same subject
anonymous
line.
Anonymous asked a question.
And yeah, because all the Tomber ones have the same subject line. So.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'll do these then. Dear Notcast, what is your opinions on zoophilia? Let's say it's a situation where a dog was willfully shoving his cock. I think he means willingly. Shoving his cock
willfully.
Up
God damn it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fuck you. Woof.
Shoving his cock up a human's ass and was in no way forced. And the follow-up is, also forgot to mention, how would you guys react if a friend/mate came out to you as a zoo? And I'm just going to add my own addendum here. I'm asking for a friend. How do you feel, Saverin, about a dog putting his cock in your ass willfully?
Willfully.
Are you okay with that? I'm asking for a friend. What is your opinion on peanut butter? My dog really likes peanut butter. You want to use the smooth kind. You don't want the chunky stuff on your balls. Wait, did I say that out loud?
This is one of those things where the Harkness test comes into play.
Yes.
Let me read it off because I pulled it up on my phone.
Okay.
So you want to fuck a fictional creature. Well, unless any creature. Give it the Harkness test first. Does it have human intelligence or greater? Can it talk or otherwise communicate with language? Is it of sexual maturity for its species? If the answer to all three is yes, you can fuck it. It is a non-human creature with sentience and all you need to do... All you need to have consensual sex with. Wait. With sentience and all you
did
need.
Did you miss something?
No, there's accidentally a word in this here somewhere.
Oh,
and that's all you need to have sex with. If you answered no to one or more, watch out. That's bestiality or possibly pedophilia. Don't fuck it. Here's an illustrated guide. Are you an adult? Nay. Do you want to fuck? Winnie. Do not fuck this. This is the rarity version, by the way.
Yes.
Are you an adult? Certainly. Do you want to fuck? Of course. It's okay to fuck this. Body language is a dangerous road. As always, are on the side of caution. Only rely on body language if both parties have attempted communication through different means and failed due to language barriers and other special situations. So, don't fuck the snake.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've discussed this before at length. And I think the Notcast official position is just say no to zoophilia. Is that about to sum it up? Because, yeah, just no. And, you know, if a mate or a friend came out to you as a zoo?
I don't know.
I don't have.
Have them tested for
shepatitis. I don't know.
Did you say that? Because I've got a shep.
They kept.
No, actually.
Did they catch derpies? Did they catch derp from a husky?
Yes, derpies.
They were not vaccinated.
Yes.
And all huskies are carriers of germs.
You know, I tell them that that's fucked up. And that's basically animal abuse.
BA, why did you tell me this?
And that'd be a totally why I tell you this. Well, because I wanted to have a three-way with you, me, and my husky. I wanted to put my snake inside you. You mean your dick? No, my literal snake.
I've got this boa constrictor. You know.
Yeah. He wants to constrict your prostate.
I don't know how I'd react.
Yeah, I think that's without belaboring it much further. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, sorry.
And you know, when I say don't fuck the snake, I mean, Mia from Monster Musume, you could fuck her. She's a sentient non-human.
Who can actually communicate.
Even though she'll, fuck you to death. Because Lamias have sex for, 8 hours. Just like real snakes. You'll die if you fuck.
Wait, real snakes have sex for 8 hours?
Apparently.
And I've heard the pigs have 30-minute orgasms. I'm suddenly seeing the appeal of zoophilia. Wait a minute. Scratch that from the record. No. I forgot that we were recording this. No. I'm joking. Savardus just closed his iPad in despair. And, yeah.
The sea with Centaurea, she's...
Are you going to talk about the horse pussy again, Savard? You're totally going to talk about the horse pussy. See, horse pussy is okay to talk about in a joking fashion with your friends, but...
You know, Harkness test.
Don't go jumping fences.
Yes.
Don't get scrumping, cows.
Scrumping for assholes.
What?
What?
What the fuck is scrumping?
The real term is scrumping for apples. It's a British expression. It's when you jump over a garden wall into an apple orchard to steal apples.
Ah.
Oh. Don't scrump for assholes either, because stealing someone's asshole is a rude thing to do.
Yeah.
They need that to poop out of.
So, I think that about puts a bullet in this one.
Put that mare down.
I just came, so it's time to pull the trigger.
What a weird episode.
We went from really good emails to what the fuck was that last bit?
You can follow us if you want to.
I don't know.
On Twitter at Notcast.
That might be a little bit dubious.
You can
right
unfollow
now.
Us on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, if you, follow us and then immediately unfollow us, we don't blame you.
Wow, I didn't know Patreon could go into negative numbers.
We're paying them? Wow, that's weird. You can follow us on Twitter at Notcast. You can send us emails to notcast@foxheffers.com. You can follow us on Tumblr, which is a dangerous thing, notcast.tumblr.com. You can follow us on Furaffinity, which we kind of rarely use.
You're such a lady.
I am. I'm a pretty filly. And...
Oh, look at that sexy vixen. Tuck it back. Yeah,
you can. If you like the show for some reason and you want to give us money to produce it, which, I mean, this kind of quality just, it can be done for free, but we prefer that if you have money and want to give it to us, you can go to patreon.com/notcast.
If we hit $300 an episode, we'll talk about zoophilia more.
No.
And this week, this guy got arrested because he tried to get fucked to death by a horse. It was a police horse. So now he's assaulting an officer, too.
Wait, are you serious?
No.
Oh, God. No, I can't tell. The world is that fucked by horses and other things that I literally cannot tell the difference.
You can't even.
I can't or even.
Odd.
Yeah.
I think that about wraps it up.
Please God, wrap it up.
Tyrion is going to be at Rainforest next week. We will be here for another fantastic, illuminating, enlightening episode where we raise human consciousness to the next level of vibration.
And then crash it down.
How do we know that it wasn't the police horse that beat the suspect to death with his baton? Baton, I mean cock.
Good night.
And big balls.